This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, I just looked at our list of guests, and the last time I talked to Alejandro Rojas was 9 months ago. I mean, he could have had a kid by now, I guess, if he was a woman. Of course, on other planets, you know, things like that might work out differently.
Haven't there been some men who've had kids?
There was an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
I think there was a joke, a prank that was done where some guy allegedly had a baby, but I don't think he did.
Of course, you can believe everything you see on the internet.
Of course, everything on the internet is true.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, imagine if you have two diametrically opposed tidbits of information, and both are true at the same time. Does that mean the internet is really the multiverse?
Well, I mean, technically, they couldn't be the same, although, especially in this build, a lot of people do claim that alternate, two different things that are opposed to each other are real. And that is actually the definition of, what is that term? Cognitive dissonance. And a lot of people misuse that term. But, something that causes neurosis. And so people would go crazy. Or two different dimensions.
Joining me in Randall is Alejandro Rojas. Of course, he works with OpenMinds.tv and responsible for the International UFO Conference, right?
That is, well, I am an employee of the UFO Conference.
Well, you're kind of the guy who helps set it up and everything. Speaking of which, of course, it's been a while since we talked to you. What will the focus be of the coming event?
UFOs. We never have themes, and it's so long, and I don't think they're. It's best, and what we always typically like to do is represent, you know, what's gone on in the last year, and hopefully get people that have done something unique or different. So. That it's kind of guided by that. It's kind of guided by the field and what's going on out there. I would say a big presence this year, though, will be Jeremy Corbell and his films. So, for instance, he's got Hunt for the Skinwalker. We will have Lou Elizondo there. And, you know, a lot of this, it's still kind of an unraveling story. There are questions, and for some reason, there hasn't been a big kind of headlong tackling into this, but the whole idea that, like at Jeremy Corbell's movie, Hunt for the Skinwalker, shows that, you know, a lot of that Skinwalker research was funded by the government, this government program that the New York Times wrote about in December. So that'll be a big factor, because we'll have Lou there and we'll definitely talk to him about that. And then Jeremy will be there talking about his film and that as well. And then Jeremy has a new film coming out that he'll be showing there also that is his personal recent interviews with Bob Lazar. And I think that relationship actually started at the International UFO Congress when Bob Lazar was there a couple of years ago. And so was Jeremy. And I know they had some mutual friends. I think Tom DeLonge actually had a surprise sneak visit at that event then. And he and George Knapp and Bob Lazar all went out and hung out for a while. And I think that's when their relationship started. I could be wrong. It could have started earlier. But it certainly has gone on stronger. And Jeremy spent a lot of time with him. That'll definitely have a heavy presence there at the conference.
We'll have to get Randall to somehow fly down from Calgary to have a look. I want to ask you, Alejandro, with regard to that. It's been a couple of years, the last time we had James Fox, talking about his UFO film, 701, the movie, and he was doing it with Tracy Tormé, who has been quite ill. Have you heard anything from James in recent months?
I've heard a lot. Actually, I will have a producer credit on the film, along with many others. But, yeah, I've been hearing from them and helping them out recently. Lee Spiegel is helping write the script, and in fact, they're all in California right now working on editing the video. So they are in the editing stages. They are doing a little bit more filming. In fact, I think they're doing some filming today, which likely will wrap up the filming. But of course, we didn't expect that there was going to be any more filming going on, actually. But something came up. And so they had an opportunity. This is the second or third kind of opportunity that's come up after wrapping filming. So that may happen again. But I think at this point, they're kind of like, this has got to be it. There's only one or two outstanding events that may occur that would be able to import some more. But I just posted a video last night where some of us that spoke at the Devil's Tower UFO rendezvous, we're talking about, you know, To the Stars and some of this latest news and information. And Lee talked quite a bit about the documentary. And essentially what he was saying, as a result of December, you know, they've been able to get a host of very credible, very high level individuals to agree to do interviews. So they've got some amazing interviews. They've got access and people involved with this film at levels which has anyone been able to get these type of people. And I can't really mention any names, but that's kind of a good thing because that'll make more of an impact when the film comes out. But they are really getting some amazing stuff. And it's going to be really exciting.
Now, for those who follow movies, they call those reshoots when they have to do something again or add something to the picture. Now, is there a release date yet? Is it still being called 701 or what?
No, the name 701 was kind of ditched quite a while ago. It did go through some changes. So the original production group did include Tracy Tormé. Also, another gentleman a couple other people who actually parted from the project. And James held on to it then and gathered a different production group, essentially, and then moved forward. And even prior to that, they had decided and gotten the feedback. Nobody knows what 701 means. So it was too ambiguous of a name. The other names of his documentaries are Out of the Blue or I Know What I Saw, which kind of at least, you know, make more sense when knowing the topic is UFOs. So they do not have a title yet. They're working on one. They have been ever since they decided not to run with 2701. But yeah, so they haven't decided to do 701 for a long time. And in fact, for those of you who want to get really geeky and into the details, 701 was a number used by the Air Force when they closed Blue Book. Essentially, they said, oh, we only have 701 unidentified, which is a lot, really. Even though they had thousands of reports that they have 701 that they could not debunk, and they actively, you know, tried to debunk these and tried to explain them away. But even after all of that, 701 that they could not explain away, even though they fervently tried to do so. That's a lot. The number is probably, there's a few numbers of different lists of unknowns. Hynek had his own list, which I think was around 500. There are a few other lists from the Air Force, other Air Force people that range between 500 and 700. Mike Swords has a great document or report you can find online that goes over all of this. But that number, even 701, is kind of not, it's kind of a random number anyway.
Depends on how you interpret it. Of course, they can come up with a title called Don't Worry, We'll Think of a Title. No, they are not going to do that. We've got Alejandro Rojas of the International UFO Conference and OpenMinds.tv. But with Gene and Randall, it means you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool.
Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Anyway, we've got Alejandro Rojas with Gina Randall. We're talking shop here. Getting up to date, what's happening in the UFO field at the International UFO Conference. Good to hear the James Fox movie is finally progressing. It's had a germination period of several years, but that's not unusual in the film business, where sometimes films go on for years and years before things come together and they find the right pattern, the right write script and everything. Is there a release date yet? Is there a distribution agreement?
There is, well, neither. So there is, they have distribution leads, strong ones. So they will be soon working on nailing that down. But actually, their plan, and this is what they worked out, which is a little different than the world's changed, you know, when it comes to documentaries and videos because of the online streaming and everything. But he's actually going to finish it before he moves on, which is actually some advice for people out there. That's not what you do typically. Typically, you shop it and you find your distributor prior to finishing your film because they're going to want input. In this case, the people he's been talking to asked for a finished version, so he's going to finish a version, and then he's going to work with his contacts and work on distribution. But some great minds and some good distribution. So it's all very, very positive there. And one great thing, you know, you mentioned how sometimes these films take a long time to get created. It makes me think of the Rua Aerial School movie that Randall Nickerson is working on. And he's been working on that for maybe 10 years. And some of you may remember in the 90s, you know, these kids at an elementary school in South Africa said they saw this craft land and this entity come out. And years later, now that they're in their 20s, they've been talking about it. So we've had at least one of the witnesses at the UFO Congress before who very moving. And I've met her and you know, it's really interesting. So all these kids, you know, still hold by that this actually occurred. So there's been a movie in the works for about 10 years by Randy Nickerson. I've talked to him recently and helped him get some footage. But James also did some interviews of those kids, and those interviews will be included in his documentary. So it'll have a section on that because I know a lot of people love that case.
John Mack, it was pretty involved with that as well, and he's got there's a short documentary about it you can look up on the YouTube that features him in that as well.
Yeah, in fact, that's how the case came about. In fact, we probably wouldn't know about it so much, but this person, a friend who was in journalism, she decided she wanted to go investigate this case, and she wanted to make a documentary out of it, and she asked John Mack to come along, and he was hesitant because he's like, this isn't what I do. You know, I'm a psychologist. I'm more along the lines of what's kind of happening in people's heads. But she talked him into it. And so he went out there. He was floored. They interviewed these kids and he's great. He works with kids. And, you know, he was just he adds so much credibility to that documentary and just the way his mannerisms. He's very deliberate in what he says and very caring, very soft-spoken with these children, and was able to get some great responses. And those videos of those interviews in that documentary are really what made that case famous.
Absolutely. Mac was a real credit to the field. There's no doubt about that. It's tragic that we lost him.
Yeah. He was great.
So backing up just a little bit there to our percentages, we've got Blue Book, according to Ruppelt, saying that there were about 26.94% of the sightings were unknown. So I guess it depends on what number you start with. He said that of the 4,400 actually received, that all except for 1,593 were immediately rejected for analysis, which I think leaves us with less than actually 500. At least at the time that he wrote the report on unidentified flying objects.
Yeah, and the other issue, and it just gets really complicated, and that's why this Mike Swords document is so great. There were several projects. Of course, there's Grudge, and before that, there was...
This Sign.
Yes, Project Sign, and then it turned into Blue Book. So... during the Grudge years was really when the heavy debunking was happening. And Ruppelt goes over this in his book, actually. because he was tasked with examining what's the status. This Project Grudge is going on. People have a bad attitude about UFOs. What's going on is what his general asked. And so he went to investigate, and he saw that, you know, during sign that there was actually a positive outlook for UFOs. And of course they came up with a document that said, hey, it could be aliens. The people got upset about that, and it created this kind of pushback. Okay, we're upset because you guys are taking this, you're making these claims that it could be aliens. You're making us look like idiots, essentially. Let's debunk this whole thing and try to squash all of this. Well, Ruppelt wasn't of that. He just observed that. And he observed the Air Force actually has gotten a really bad name because we are blatantly, you know, not taking these cases seriously. And we're getting in, a lot of people are very critical of it. So he said, I think that we should do, be looking at this stuff. And so he was told, go ahead, do it. So they started Project Blue Book. During that time, also, there was a lot going on that propelled, you know, the topic, kind of zeitgeist for mine, in that there was a Life article with these astronomers who were coming out talking about how they had seen UFOs. There was 1952 Washington, D.C. So there's all this stuff that just boosted everything and made it really just propelled Project Blue Book to go on for, you know, many years.
Right. It ended in 69, I think. And this mm-hmm. initial report was between 47 and 52. So there was a number of other years even after that that could certainly bring the number of unknowns up into the 700 mark, so for sure.
That's the point, is that there were, along the line, several different reports and analysis of the report, of the sightings they had gotten to date. And so that's another reason why we have so many different numbers, is that there were lots of different points, reports at different times. And when reports were made, they weren't always all looking at the same set of information.
Something I think is really important to get across to the skeptics here, too, is that we often hear that, well, you know, if they'd had more information, then we would have been able to identify more of them and there would have been a whole lot less. But if you actually look at the data, they rejected all of the reports with insufficient information to do an analysis. So
yeah.
in other words, in that percentage, there was over 22% that was insufficient data that they simply ignored. So the unknowns are completely separate from those with insufficient information.
We've got more to talk about with Alejandro and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Pastor Andrew Brunson has been released from a Turkish prison. He was detained after a failed military coup in 2016. Brunson has always maintained his innocence. President Trump.
This has nothing to do with anything. There was no deal made at all. There was no deal. But we're very happy to have him and have him in good shape, very good shape.
and global businesses are reassessing their relationships with Saudi Arabia after reports that journalist Jamal Khashoggi was murdered at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. Khashoggi's Apple Watch recorded his interrogation, torture, and murder inside the consulate. Once again, President Trump.
It is potentially a really, really terrible situation, so we'll see what happens.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So that was a very big point that was actually made. I think Donald Kehoe had made points about that in his books, about Project Blue Book, where they would stuff a lot of real compelling cases under the category of insufficient information, because that gave them a dodge, a way to say, well, you know, we would have maybe explained the rest if we had enough information, but then you have insufficient information, so how do you compensate for that?
Well, plus, it's an unscientific argument. You always want more data, and it's fair to say and accurate to say, if we had more data, we would be able to understand that sighting better. That's true. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you would be able to explain what it is, that it's something mundane. That's an assumption. That's like going into not being able to prove some scientific hypothesis you have and saying, well, if I would have had more information, I could have proven that it was real. No, that's not how it works. If I had more information, I could prove the moon is actually cheese. That's not how it works. Certainly more data is always good, and it would have shed more light on the situation, but that doesn't necessarily mean because there are situations where we do have data. In fact, I recently did an interview with David Marler, and here's an example, the Battle of L.A. He's gathered more and more information about Battle of L.A., this sighting over L.A. in 1942. And I've always kind of felt if we had more data there, maybe it would show something mundane. But this is an example where more data has just added to the mystery. And a lot of the best UFO cases are like that. Even though we keep getting more data, we can't explain the mystery. It remains mysterious. And those are the best cases. That's not an assumption that is necessarily true, although more data should always be sought. I certainly agree with that.
Well, if we were going to listen to what the United States Air Force had to say on what they actually mean by the word unidentified, They say that a sighting is considered unidentified when a report apparently contains all pertinent data necessary to suggest a valid hypothesis concerning the cause or explanation of a report, but the description of the object or its motion cannot be correlated with any known object or phenomena. In other words, they have plenty of data to identify it if it was something that we know or even could be known.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at those cases, there are really good unknowns. I had a series before our magazine ended on the unknown blue book cases. And you can go in and there is paperwork. And some of these cases, there is a ton of information and a lot of witnesses, and they're still unknown. So, for example, there was a multiple witness UFO sighting in Oregon and Washington on July 4th, 1947. A bunch of police officers throughout the towns of Oregon and Washington, or the states of Oregon and Washington, and the police officers knew because they were broadcasting it over the radio, and people were listening in, and people got word of it. People are seeing UFOs, so they started listening, and even some of the witnesses say they thought it was a joke, and they were listening for fun and trying to look to see if they could see them. And some of them did see them, and they thought, holy cow, these are really weird. I don't know what that is. And so there was a lot of data in those cases, witness testimony, but they couldn't solve that. You know, they couldn't figure out what it was. And if you look at many of those blue book cases, in the grudge years, they were really looking for the opportunity to say, oh, that's a parachute, or, oh, that's Venus. And if, you know, there was nothing there that could discount that, then they would go with that. So these unknowns are cases where they just could not explain them away as much as they wanted to, and they wanted to very, very badly.
Well, that, there's an interesting point there to be made, too. Recently, we had Professor Paul Kingsbury on from Simon Fraser University, who's taken an interest in the paranormal and actually received a government grant to study it for 4 years. And when we got into talking about data, his opinion, contrary to quite a number of the skeptics, is that eyewitness testimony does constitute data.
You know what? And we got in our Open Mind UFO News Facebook group. There's a lot of debate actually in there about this. And people were saying, oh, the data is, you know, they were talking about Cheryl Costa, who writes for Syracuse New Times, and her book, which talks about UFO reports. And they are just about reports. And people were saying that data is faulty. It wasn't scientifically gained. You know, it wasn't, there wasn't, things like biases are not being put in there, but it is valuable data. In fact, when you're looking at like Paul, I think Paul's a sociologist or a historian, something along those lines. So in the
cultural geographer.
There you go. A cultural geographer. So what you do is you go and you ask people what their feelings are, and, you know, people submit information from their perspective. And so from a perspective of Paul's, for instance, the MUFON UFO reports are very valuable data because it's cultural data, you know, giving you a feed for what the culture is like or what culture perceives. That's the whole point. So it's certainly valuable data. Now, does the data scientifically prove, you know, that these are technology that is beyond what humans can make? No, the data can't be used for that, but it can be used for public perception, and it can be used for generalization, such as, you know, like Cheryl was pointing out in a recent article, that here's where triangular shaped craft are seen, or how often they're seen compared to others. That sort of data is helpful.
I mean, we're just talking about, we get into that word proof, right? And we go right back to Ruppelt and his introduction. And really all proof is evidence that's sufficient to justify belief in a claim. And so it's subjective. For some people, a person's testimony is proof enough. For other people, it's not. To say that just because we've had a number of witnesses that are providing a description of their experience, that that's not proof, I don't think that's a valid argument.
It depends on how, where you're using the word proof. The word proof is typically used, you know, kind of in two places mostly, which what people are mostly referring to, which is in court or in science. There are different levels. There's the level of public opinion. There's the legal level when it comes to court. And then there's this the scientific level, which is the highest and the highest bar to meet. When it comes to public opinion, I think that we're kind of at that tipping point where the people feel that there is enough proof out there to allow them to believe in the phenomena and believe that perhaps we're even being visited. When it comes to court, that's harder to say. Some people argue that there is enough proof, and anecdotal information does serve as proof, especially expert anecdotal information, which we have. So David Fravor, who's a F-18 pilot who chased these things.
From the Nimitz case.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Excellent interview. If people haven't seen that, go look it up, because this Fravor cannot be denied as somebody who has been there and has credentials. And it wasn't just his cameras that picked this up. He saw it with his own eyes, along with the other people in his squadron.
Mm-hmm. So that's expert opinion, which, so for a court, that would weigh very, very heavy. For instance, you know, with Lou Elizondo, who ran that government program, that was enough to show that there's something here to look at. When it comes to science, now that's something different. And when we say something is real or not, typically, you know, we rely on science to know for sure. Anecdotal information then points you in directions, but it doesn't serve as proof. You need something harder for that. And that's, you know, very difficult. But I would argue that just because we don't have scientific proof that aliens are here, or that UFOs demonstrate a real mystery, and that may even be argued if you look at radar data and stuff like that, that perhaps that could serve as scientific, that even if we haven't gotten there, we've got enough to show that it's something worth looking into.
Alejandro Rojas, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Aging is one thing that affects everyone. George has talked about the power of stem cells for years. Now, there's a new serum that harnesses that stem cell power to bring back your youthful look. Beverly Hills doctor, Nathan Newman.
Stem cells are basically our fountain of youth. This is what maintains our body's reparative, regenerative abilities. As we age, every cell breaks down and needs to be replaced, and what replaces it is the stem cell.
Dr. Newman and Jeunesse have developed Lumines. Lumines takes the science of stem cells using the same growth factor complex that literally heals our cells, slowing the appearance of the aging process. Apply Lumines twice daily and on average see results in a week. Learn more, watch our video, and order today at a special Coast website, healthylooking.com. Plus, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's healthylooking.com. Lumines, for a healthier, much younger, better-looking you. Buy now at healthylooking.com.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
That's the special announcer voice from Alejandro. All right, we've got to pick up on something important about your discussion in this segment of the Paracast. Would you go on, please, Alejandro?
Yeah, I just wanted to finish that point that I argue with the SETI guys who are looking for extraterrestrial intelligence. They speculate all the time, and they speculate a lot. And there's no doubt even the general public can get the sense that speculating that an advanced extraterrestrial civilization would use radio signals is really a huge stretch and almost ridiculous. And even when SETI started up and they were planning on what they would do, scientists felt that way back in like the 60s, but instead we're still listening to these radio signals, which is kind of just a silly thing, really, in that we're even moving past that sort of technology. So to speculate that an advanced civilization would be able to monitor us and go undetected, like let's say Star Trek people do in the Star Trek movies, that's completely within the realm of possibility. It's something that I think is credible speculation, but if you speculated like that with a SETI person, which I have, they would say, oh, that's ridiculous.
I do think SETI is a worthwhile project, though. And I
do,
think
too.
I really think it's too bad that there's this us versus them attitude that's come into play. And you can see it in, say, a movie like Contact. And there you see the ufologists and the UFO people. They're dressed up kind of as what you might call the UFO nuts with their, you know, tinfoil hats and the Space Brother costumes, and Jodie Foster's driving by and looking at them thinking like, wow, you know, it's a good thing I've got a window between me and them on her way to the very large array that she was working at. So I think that's a really unfair attitude. When it comes to serious ufology, we're on the same side.
True, but we kind of our own problem too. At the same time, you know, there's a way you do science, and there's a way you approach and you converse with that group. There aren't many people, serious UFO researchers or investigators, who have made that effort. Instead, a lot of times people will approach them with speculation or with anecdotal information, and that's not going to go anywhere with a scientist. They're just going to say, well, that's nothing. It could be this, it could be that. It's incumbent on us to come to them with good information, but I think that It's possible. I've always said there could be a SETI of UFOs. There just isn't one yet. An organization made up largely of scientists that adhere to scientific standards to show what we've got right now. And I don't think that we've really gotten that. And an organization that wants to interact with the public and SETI. I think we can get there. I hope we do. So it's kind of twofold.
Well, what we've got with ufology, it's an informal interest. It mm-hmm. certainly could be an academic interest. For example, it doesn't need to be into the sciences, but it could fit into the humanities. So Kingsbury actually agreed wholeheartedly with that idea. So there's certainly a spectrum where it ranges from completely informal conversation and speculation and a sort of fringe ufology all the way up to academics who take it seriously. Science, on the other hand, really is bounded on two sides by some pretty strict rules of behavior and investigation. Really, I think that ufology just, it's so wide a field, it simply can't become a science unto itself. It really needs to be classed as something different. And I think it's a mistake to try and think of it as a science. And I think if we were to get good scientific information, and you make a fabulous point there, it's incumbent upon us to provide the good information. And if we do, then let's give it to the scientists on their own terms at arm's length and let them do the work in their own way to remove our bias and let them come to a conclusion.
I think you make some good points there in that, you know, UFOs as a topic, just like many other topics, would include a lot of different sciences. That more, it would be more along the lines of different scientific disciplines attacking looking at the topic and then using it in their own realms, like Paul is doing, like you mentioned. And he is actually someone who is of the academic scientific community. So he is using the data to show culturally, you know, perspectives, which I think is fascinating. So you're right. Other areas could use it. One area where I think that, for example, you know, we had John Mack. Unfortunately, he passed away. But psychology, there are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people out there who believe that they've interacted with aliens. Shouldn't we pay attention to that? Doesn't it make sense that, you know, we should have some academic studies looking at these people and wondering why they believe these things? It could be related to a phenomena of the mind that is not related to aliens. But, I mean, it's a big enough issue with so many people that you would think that it would garner some study in that arena. So, yeah, I agree with you. Other disciplines could tackle this. And the one positive thing, though, I'll say about the hard sciences is that what the Two of the Stars is doing and other organizations, in fact, MUFON, a lot of the engineers who helped founded MUFON felt along these lines, that they could possibly figure out the technology being used just by observing the craft. And certainly the people involved with Two of the Stars believe that. They believe that they have been able to figure out some of the technology used by these craft simply by observation.
But that assumes the craft you see represents the real craft, whatever it is. That assumes there's no camouflaging. That means that it's a real object. And if it's not a real object, then whatever you observe is not going to be valid.
Well, true. But I mean, the observations you make, especially if you're making scientific ones, are going to be indicative of some sort of science. So that's got to be checked. So in other words, if, for example, the movement they're seeing, there are certain characteristics of that movement that fit a hypothesis of potential propulsion that is out there, then you would be able to say, hey, this theoretical potential, you know, method of propulsion is viable. So we can work on developing this, and as we develop it, if it seems to mirror the characteristics of the craft that we're observing, then that would give you validation that you're moving in the right direction, which is essentially what those guys have been doing.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any question that the UFO phenomena has inspired scientists. I mean, we can go back to Paul R. Hill, who had a sighting and devoted much of the remainder of his life to trying to figure out how these things work. Similarly, yeah. We have people in NASA who've been inspired not just by UFOs, but by science fiction in general to try to come up with some sort of FTL, faster than light propulsion system.
Exactly. You know, there was a question recently, and this has kind of been asked before, especially of the experts in the area, is why are we developing so many technologies that are so similar to like in Star Trek? Was Gene Roddenberry just ahead of his time? And the answer when they polled a lot of physicists was no, that's not it. It's that we all were inspired by Star Trek. So we sought to develop the technologies that we saw in Star Trek. That's why so much technology in those areas is as so just exactly to your point that, you know, the inspiration, they were inspired by Star Trek. So now we have Star Trek like technologies being worked on.
Well, we didn't bring up Star Trek this time, Gene, right? This was Alejandro.
That was
me. That's right. You know, okay, just a minute here. Just, ladies and gentlemen, let's get this defined carefully. I didn't mention Star Trek. Randall didn't mention Star Trek. We didn't give any clues to Alejandro. He came in cold, spontaneous, and he used the ST word. Or
do I
words.
Win a prize?
Engage.
You, Alejandro. That's awesome. Well, it is true, though. I've got a DVD, I think it's called, How William Shatner Changed the World. And he talks all about it's all about, of course, Shatner and his involvement with Star Trek and all of the things that came out of it and that we use in today's society on a regular basis. It's really quite fascinating.
Yeah. But they said that the tablet, like an iPad, or one of the Fire tablets from Amazon, originated with Star Trek Next Generation, but no, it was also in 2001. So Star Trek is not responsible for the iPad. Just want to bring that up to date. We've got Alejandro Rojas, J. Randall Murphy, Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-318-1251. That's 800-318-1251. 800-318-1251.